Coming up on today's Next Fan Up podcast.
Came on before you once and then you never call, you never write pod. We've got to get you back on.
Can I have a couple drinks and just review how awful it is? You actually want me to try to recreate this art?
Oh, yeah. You need to recreate the art that is a linebacker rapping.
We welcome in special guest Nat Coombs from across the pond, and the Raiders and Chiefs fans are making wagers. Here we go.
Listen. Hello. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the super fans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to this foreign edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. Hello, everybody. It's Pod Vader. Foreign, because literally our guest is from a foreign country. If you are from the United States, that is, he is a foreigner. That is Nat Coombs. He is from the great country of England, and he'll be talking to us about the English series, the NFL, returning to England once again, this time in Twickenham Stadium. We'll talk to him about what's going on over there in regards to the NFL in England. Also, we've got a super fan battle for the Thursday night podcast, one that I think we didn't really expect. We were all looking forward to the Raiders and the Chiefs, but I don't think we're quite looking forward to it in terms of this particular game. We'll get into that a little bit later on. But you know how we do it. We want to hear from you. NextFanUp@gmail.com. You can tweet us at NFU Podcast. And of course, we're on Facebook, Facebook.com/NFU Podcast. You're going to want to remember the Facebook page, because I guarantee that's where we're going to see some of these wagers being paid out, is on our Facebook page. Also, our website, www.nextfanup.wordpress.com. I dropped in the www. What did I think this was? 1985 all over again? But there you go. Our website, nextfanup.wordpress.com. You can check out all our written previews by the superfans. They'll be previewing all the games coming up here in Week 7. And I'll be giving you my picks for Week 7 coming up in tomorrow's podcast. Before we even get to tomorrow, we got to start with today. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to bring in our old pal from across the pond. It is time for the London series once again, and it is Nat Coombs. You're a presenter of many things, Nat. What are you the presenter of these days?
Well, I've got a radio show on Talk Sport over here, which is the NFL show with Nat Coombs. That goes out on Tuesday nights in the UK on Talk Sport 2, the station. And the NFL coverage on Sundays, NFL Match Day Live on the same station, same network, Talk Sport. And then I present the big games in London that we have every season on the BBC for television, stuff for ESPN, all over, whoever will pay me.
Well, that's the important part, right?
Don't
want to forget what's important. How has the London series been so far this year? We've had two games now, and we got two more coming up, and these next two are at a new stadium, right?
Yeah, well, Twickenham, which is a very famous stadium in the UK. It's the home of rugby, so football, as in European football, is still very much the biggest sport over here, but rugby has a very long-standing and big fan base, and Twickenham is the home of rugby. It's England's flagship stadium for that. But there was an NFL game played there last season, and the atmosphere was absolutely terrific there. So at the moment, they're mixing up the games, two at Wembley, which we've had back-to-back, and then there'll be two in back-to-back weeks at Twickenham. So they offer a different experience, I think, but both equally interesting. So far, well, it was good to see the Jaguars in fine form the first game of the international series, because obviously they're a team that a lot of us like and are interested in over here because they keep coming back and they're just a nice franchise to follow, and they got some serious defense going on, so that was good. The second game was disappointing. I think it's fair to say it was terrible, let's be honest. And the Dolphins just didn't turn up at all. But you know, as I keep reminding everybody, while the game was disappointing and it was flag central and it was very fractious and stop-starty, we got to see Drew Brees play. You know, never forget, as a British NFL fan, you're watching one of the great quarterbacks play in a game that counts for something. And, you know, we've come a long way. I think we've come a long way over here.
Now you have the Rams and the Cardinals, two West Coast teams. Yeah. Now, I mean, I haven't done a lot of research into the history of the London series. Is this the first time We've had two teams come from literally the furthest points on the map.
I think it might be the first West Coast head-to-head, although I'm sure I'd be corrected. I'll have to dig down. Well, we've had West Coast teams before, of course, the 49ers, right. The Rams have been before, you know. So, but going head-to-head, it may well be. And a really interesting matchup as well, because, you know, the Rams are for real, quite obviously, and an exciting buzz about them with their young coaching and Jared Goff not being completely hopeless, which is what everyone seemed to think he was, and a defense that can ball as well, up against a resurgent Arizona side who, again, everybody wrote, it's a crazy season pod, isn't it? You know, everybody
yes.
has been writing off pretty much every team on a weekly basis at some point. You know, there's no team I think that has escaped the write-off, with maybe the exception of Kansas City, and even then after this weekend, maybe some people are saying, well, they don't really, you know, so... The Cardinals are suddenly back in it, you know, and with Adrian Peterson, that adds a whole new dimension to the game after the performance he had last weekend. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
How much of it, though, is really us overreacting? You know, Adrian Peterson did nothing all season. There's a reason yeah. why he did nothing all season. Now he ends up on the Cardinals, has one good game. And we're like, oh, Adrian Peterson's back. Well, is he really back? He had one good game. If he
well,
does
I
it again,
it the other way.
Maybe.
I look at it the other way, Pod. I think that I was quite big on him this season. Now, clearly, that wasn't the right fit in New Orleans. And, you know, I guess the true story will come out there. But I think significantly, when you look at the form that Mark Ingram's in and Alvin Kamara's in, then straight away that partnership or that relationship, I should say, between Peterson and the Saints was going to be difficult because he even... Look, I know he must have some self-awareness of not... player he was 5 or 6 years ago, right? But everything that's got him to where he's got in his career is founded on this mentality of I am the best, I'm the best, I'm the greatest, I am, you know, you've got to have this self-belief, right? So it's a bit like watching a boxer who it's gone and but doesn't want to give up, or a player that is on the way and just won't admit it to themselves. You can't really criticize them for that. I'm not suggesting that he is at that stage of proceedings yet, but you can't criticize them for letting any self-doubt come in, because that's all they know. That's how they've got there in the first place. In Peterson's case, I still think there's plenty in the tank, and it's easy for me to say this with the benefit of 2020 hindsight from last weekend, but having said that, I picked him for both my fantasy teams, so I think that counts for something. And I think that it just didn't work out in New Orleans, but I still think he's a credible NFL running back. I definitely don't think he's washed up.
By the way, we may have buried the lead. This is the first time that we've had a player go to London twice with two separate teams.
Yeah, well, yes. I'm not sure that's true, because I think OC Umunyoro, of course, who is a big part of the coverage over here in the UK, the two-time Super Bowl winning New York Giant. OC is one of the coverage team on the BBC. So there's a weekly highlight show which he's part of with Jason Bell, the former NFL player as well, and they also are part of our live coverage. So I anchor, as I said at the top, the live games for the BBC. I don't do the highlight show, but I do the live games, and OC's part of that. And I remember having this very conversation, because I think he came over. We definitely came over the first year with the Falcons, and then he came over with the Giants, and then he came over with the Falcons years later towards the end of his career. So he's definitely been twice. And I think there are a few. That's a good question though.
But not in the same season.
Oh, the same season. Yeah, that's true. Ah, yeah. Okay. Good point. A good point. And I stand corrected. That is absolutely... I'm sure he is the first in that respect. Yeah. However, you're onto something, Jay. Let's get your listeners to tweet you all the players that have been over to London more than once with different teams.
That'd be great. I would love that.
Yes.
And a few podcasts or at The Real Pod Vader. Either way, I will accept those tweets.
Oh, smooth plug.
So what is the feeling been like this year with the NFL games, Mike? What I'm concerned about, and concern might be too strong of a word because I'm not really concerned, is that all of these games take away the specialness of the event. And so I'm just wondering if some of that might be setting in over there, if there seems to be a little letdown now. It's like, all right, well, we've seen this all before.
It's a reasonable point, but I just think it just transitions really into a slightly different mindset. I think there was an element of fans that go to an NFL game, have been to an NFL game in London entirely on a casual basis. But I think that's the biggest misconception of the games over here to date, is that it is a bit of a curiosity, and you know, there is a really strong and ever-growing fan base over here. And bear in mind as well that London is considered, and it's somewhat ironic after Brexit, the gateway to Europe, you know, as far as the NFL are concerned. So you get a lot of fans from across continental Europe as well coming to the game. So this idea that, oh, let's go and try and watch some American football, so, you know, is definitely a myth. I'm not saying that there wasn't an element of that around, but it's marginalized at best. So what you're seeing are fans that have grown with the game, developed with the game. Every game you go to, you see every single jersey on show. There is, so it's a different atmosphere, of course. And it's sometimes people say it's a bit like a Super Bowl. I'm not sure I agree with that. But I think the point being there that it's not like a typical home game for either side. That said, you know, depending on the side, there is a lot of fans of either team that are playing will represent for sure. And the way that the stadium puts on the structure of the game and makes sure that there are flags and all things to wave for the home team, it definitely has a sense for the players, I think, that fans are behind them if they're giving up a home game. So I think it's just a much more literate fan base now, Pod. And, you know, and so while, yeah, the novelty may have worn off, I don't think to most of them that particularly matters.
You touched on something there. How many fans are going to be upset when the players are kneeling during God Saves the Queen?
Yeah, well, they interestingly, at the last game, of course, the Saints knelt before the anthem and then unified as one for the Star Spangled Banner, of course. And I'm glad to report that both teams stood for God Save the Queen, which was very nice to see. I mean, that whole subject, of course, hasn't gone unnoticed over here. And I think probably much like in America, there is a polarized opinion. I think more people here majority of people are on the side of supportive of the players that are protesting. But I think there's definitely some people I've spoken to that understand why certain players don't want to do that and feel uncomfortable doing that. I mean, a really interesting, one of so many interesting stories this season, of course.
What is it that we Americans are missing about the game over there? What part of the mystique of the game are we taking for granted that seems to be embraced by the Europeans?
Say that. Sorry, Jay. Say that again.
I know. I threw you a big curveball on that one.
What are you talking about? The line went a bit funny then, Jay. You have to repeat that.
What is it about the game that we Americans are taking for granted that the Europeans are embracing? That we sort of are like, yeah, whatever. It's football. But
I tell you what. I'm with you now. So there's everything I just said about novelty. Ignore it. No, but there is definitely, if there's a game like, I don't know, and this is, again, the crazy thing about this season is you look at last week, the Jags-Rams was one of the best games going into the weekend, and you wouldn't have called that 4 weeks before, right? So no. I think that there is, whatever matchup we get, there's always a part of the NFL fan base over here that is a bit disgruntled. Oh, these matchups are terrible. Oh, why can't we get the Packers? Oh, it's not good enough. And I don't particularly sympathize with them, I have to say, because it goes back to what I said right at the very top. You know, the Saints-Dolphins game was terrible, and we're not going to pretend it wasn't a terrible game, but we're seeing Drew Brees and Jay Ajayi and a whole bunch of terrific players in the flesh, and it matters. It's not like it's an exhibition game or a friendly. It's a game that really matters, and we mustn't take that for granted. And I think most of the fans don't take it for granted. So if you think about the fact the Browns are coming over, you know, as the fourth game, right? The Browns are terrible, right?
Yes.
A lot of American journalists and fans would be like, oh, the poor Brits. They've got the Brown. You know, what a rubbish game to send to London. And you hear that quite a lot. It doesn't matter. You know, we're watching ball, and we're not jaded in that respect. And so I guess, in reference to your earlier point, yeah, there probably is still an element of what's the word? Not wide-eyed, because that implies that the fans are naive to them not being good games, but just acceptance that it might not be a marquee matchup, but we're seeing NFL up close, and maybe that will change. But at the moment, I don't think it has. And I think it's a really important point just to remember and to celebrate, if not a great game on paper. Firstly, a lot of great games on paper turn out to be not very good, and vice versa, and games that are stinkers. I mean, last season, the best of the International Series games was the Bengals-Redskins, right?
Right.
You wouldn't have called that before the game. So I think just go into it with an open mind is what I'm saying.
Now, I know you got to run, but I want to ask you one more question, and I don't know if, sure. if you know the answer to this, but what is how has fantasy football translated to Europe? Has it translated? Are people playing
massive,
fantasy?
Massive. I mean, I remember, you know, we know each other from way back on the ESPN show with Matthew and Nate and everybody. And so I think the first time I came to see you in the studio was 2010, right? My God, we're showing our age, Pod. So
I know.
2010 was, you already, the fantasy already had a presence over here because I was listening to the show and yeah, okay, sure, I'm an NFL broadcaster, so I'm more likely to be, but it still was a big show over here, you know? And I mean, even now to this day, when I do the show, like a lot of fans over here will tweet me or will say, Nat, we heard you on, you know, Matt Berry's show. So, I mean, that's always had a big following over here, but it's definitely grown. It's no doubt about it. It is big. And then you've got, you know, spin-off things like DraftKings and, you know, weekly leagues and all of that as well, which are flying. Interestingly, I think it's had quite a significant effect on fantasy soccer, yeah, which never really had much traction 7-8 years ago, really. Lots of different media owners tried to get off the ground, and, you know, people kind of played it. Now loads more people play that than ever before as well. And I'm sure that's because the games got more sophisticated and the platforms have followed the lead of fantasy baseball and fantasy NFL, ultimately.
Awesome. Nat, where can people find you?
Well, I'm on Twitter at Nat Coombs, NATCOOMBS. So follow me on Twitter. I use that to plug all the shows that I'm involved with NFL coverage over here. You can podcast a lot of the shows that I do as well. So even if you're, you know, across the pond and you can't get TalkSport, they should be able to, I think, via their website, but you can podcast it that way. And I get, you know, the show has great guests on. That's the most important thing. It's not about the host, is it, Pod? It's about the guests. And so, you know, we get Greg Rosenthal, who a lot of your listeners will know from around the NFL and NFL Network. We have all kinds of guys from across the States in terms of writers and journalists, but also big names over here and big stars over here as well. That Asmir Begovic, the footballer, who is a massive New England Patriots fan. He comes on regularly, and OC, I mentioned, and it's too many to mention, but they're great. And it's a real diverse bunch. So it gives a different perspective, I think, on things. So if you're interested in how the Brits cover the NFL, believe me, most of the time we know what we're talking about, but we give it a bit of British inflection, a British style. So if that piques your interest, come and check us out.
You can't go wrong with Nat Coombs. That's what I've always said.
Thanks, Pod. You've always had my back, man. And congrats on the show. It's all going well, I guess.
Oh, it's going great. It's going great. Thanks for jumping on. I appreciate it. And, you know, we got to find more reasons other than the stupid, you know, English series to bring you on the podcast. You're welcome on here.
My show as well again. You came on before you once and then you never call. You never write, Pod. We got to get you back on.
We definitely got to do it again. All right. Thanks, Nat.
Okay, buddy. Take care.
And it's now for maybe the most anticipated superfan battle that we've been just previewing and promoting and talking jive since the dead areas of the offseason. And that is between Monty, the Raiders superfan, and me, the Kansas City Chiefs superfan. And this is Thursday Night Football, Week 7. We've been talking about it forever, Monty, and I know you're just as excited now as you were 6 months ago.
You cut me deep, Nick. You cut me deep. I'm in a bad place right now. The last 4 weeks have not gone according to plan, and I really think the only one to blame is Pod Vader by picking the Raiders to go to the Super Bowl. It just messed with our swagger. Something's wrong with our mojo, and that's really the only thing I can pinpoint.
I think the curse is real, and I also think that you know the Chiefs have gotten a significant lift over the first 5 weeks. I mean, at least up until last week. By Pod's just absolute relentless hate for the Mahomes pick. Clearly, that was what had just been, you know, been the wind under Alex Smith's wings and everything. This is clearly, basically AFC West is explained by Pod.
That's really the only way to make sense of it all. I mean, after the Raiders lost to Washington, I was kind of in shock. The next week they lost again. I was kind of in guilt and pain. I'm at the anger and bargaining stage, and you know, after we just lost last week due to a muffed extra point, I'm kind of in that depression stage of the seven stages of grief. But the next one after that I'm looking is the upward turn, so I think this is the week.
All right. Well, you know, honestly, I haven't caught a whole lot of Raiders football this year. I mean, I think, as everyone else is aware, I know that the Carr was injured. But so what else has been going wrong for you guys other than, you know, EJ Manuel taking a bunch of snaps for you? What's been pulling you down, and what do you think is going to come together on Thursday night?
Well, I could tell you, you know, that it was something easy. I mean, I'm looking at it, and it is true. You know, we drafted Garen Conley and Obi Melinfoudinwu to help out in the secondary, and they have not been playing. A couple of our other secondary backs have been out. Last week, both our middle linebackers were out, Markell Lee and Corey James. I think Corey James played a few snaps, but he was questionable all week, so he didn't practice. Definitely not 100%. We're signing practice squad guys off the street and Navarro Bowman to play middle linebacker. And all of that stuff is definitely true. But I'm looking at these lines, and the Raiders' defense is giving up, you know, 17 points, 16 points, 16 points to Denver, 70 points for the Chargers. Like, 30 points to the Ravens is kind of what I expected from this Raiders defense, right? Like, they're crappy defense. And last year, the Raiders offense was able to cover and put up more points than they were giving up. I'm kind of writing off the entire Redskin game. I don't know what happened there. But it's just all the little things that used to be working. I mean, even like, you know, Neil's giving me crap that the Raiders aren't able to run. They're a power run team. Marshawn Lynch has been fine. He's not the reason why they're losing. I mean, he's not breaking off 50-yard runs to the house, but I mean, he's productive when he gets the ball. They're giving him like 12 carries. I think Patterson's breaking. It's just every drive will either end in a sack or end in a penalty or end in a dropped pass. Thank you, Amari Cooper. There's not like one thing that's driving it. It's just like this whole storm, and it's almost like they just got punched in the mouth in that game in Washington, and they just never recovered, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess the point in your favor is that the Chiefs also got punched in the mouth this last weekend by losing basically, you know, to the same team in the same place in basically the same way as they lost in the playoffs last year, which stings for Chiefs fans that thought this would be a chance to show that we're a different team. I still do think the Chiefs are a different team this year. And, you know, the one worrisome thing is that the injuries are really catching up with us, too. I mean, as you mentioned, all the guys you guys have out, I mean, we're down our second and third wide receiver. Tyreek Hill apparently didn't have a concussion on Sunday night, Sunday evening, I guess, early evening, but it sure looked like one. So, I mean, we'll see what his availability is like, but we may be without our top three wide receivers. We're still playing all backups in the interior O-line. We lost our Kendrick Left, our really only running back behind Kareem Hunt, and Kareem Hunt finally got bottled up last week. It'll be interesting to see if the Raiders try some of the same things that the Steelers were able to do there. But just in general, you know, what made everything work for the Chiefs was Alex Smith playing an entirely different kind of ball than he's played before. And the fact that the Chiefs now finally had the triplets, you know, they had the total three-headed monster of, you know, a good deep threat, a speed threat, you know, and then Kelce and then Hunt. And then each of those things has sort of taken their nicks. And then with the O-line having its struggles, that's worrisome. However, I do think that the Raiders, I mean, the short week's not good, but the Raiders are about as good of a comeback, you know, good game for the Chiefs as possible, just because the Chiefs have been so dominant against the Raiders over the last several years. I don't think the Chiefs have lost to the Raiders since, well, since Derek Carr's first win in the NFL, they always play well against Derek Carr. I do think that, after seeing what Le'Veon Bell was able to do to the Chiefs, I'm a little bit worried about Marshawn Lynch, even though I'm not really convinced of just how much he still has. He still will have something if the Chiefs continue to run, dime and nickel packages on almost every play. I'm worried about what the Chiefs are going to do defensively, because the thing that they used to always do that really disrupted Carr was staying in those light packages and just throwing so many guys out there in traffic and blocking the passing lanes that, he would just hang around and get sacked or throw a pick. But now, they're got to be worried that Lynch is going to be able to do the same thing to them that Bell did. And so they're going to, go a little bit heavier. But the big thing is that also in this game this weekend, we finally got Dee Ford back. And it was basically the first time since the beginning of the season that we actually had two pass rushers. And so I hope that they stop dropping Justin Houston back in coverage, actually allow both sides to rush. Because when that happens, Carr makes mistakes against the Chiefs.
All of the things that you're saying is true. If this wasn't a short week, I think, I'd have every reason to believe that your Chiefs offense is going to put up a 40 spot. I'm banking on the fact that folks are a little banged up. It's going to be a short week. You're just going to kind of run out there and get ready for game time on Thursday. And I think it's going to be an ugly game. Like the Chiefs have been clicking on all cylinders for the whole season. And I think this is going to be the kind of game that's just going to be gross. Like, drop passes. It's going to be a low scoring game. I'd take the under, whatever Vegas throws out there. And I think it's just going to be a gross game. And, either Carr's going to throw it to Cooper and it's going to hit some mystery wire from the TV camera, or they're going to cut on it and it's going to come down to the end. And, if my team has the ball at the end of the game, I would think the Raiders are going to take it. If your team has the ball at the end of the game, I don't think the Raiders' defense is going to be able to stop them. But I think it's going to be an ugly kind of game. And I really need to see, something. Khalil Mack needs to make a play. The only rookie that's actually been playing for us, Eddie Vanderdoes, needs to make a play up the gut. Something. Sean Smith, revenge game, something. I just need something. I need Cordell Patterson to take one in the house. We need something to spark this team, because they've gone 4 weeks in a row. People are questioning whether or not Norton should be fired, whether Todd, the play calling is the issue, whether it's Jack Del Rio, or this Raiders team is imploding, and they're just trying to find a way to stop the bleeding. And I don't know if the Chiefs, if they could beat the Chiefs, it would be a step in the right direction, because obviously you're one of the top-tier teams in the league. If they get pummeled again on national TV, I think you can put a fork in them.
Yeah, it's interesting. This could be, it's an early game, but it could be a game for sort of the destiny of the AFC West. You threw out a bunch of names there, a lot of them which I think, the Chiefs should be afraid of. Do you have a particular X factor in this game?
I'm just going to go. It depends on how our defensive backs are playing. So Carl Joseph is the guy who, he had the drive against the Chargers where they ended up giving up the game-winning field goal. He had two terrible plays on Hunter Henry. But other than that, he's been like the lone bright spot for this Raiders defense in 2017. I don't expect much. Khalil Mack is good. He'll get some pressure on you. He will disrupt your pass play, whether it gets to the quarterback or gets a holding call. You expect that from him. But Carl Joseph is going to need to help out with Travis Kelce. Otherwise, the Raiders don't have a chance.
Yeah, my X factor, I think I'm going to say Kevin Pierre-Louis, the linebacker that the Chiefs traded for from the Seahawks this during training camp. Both he and Reggie Raglan, another linebacker that the Chiefs traded for during training camp, those guys have been rotating alongside Derek Johnson. And it's sad for me to say, he's been basically my favorite Chief for years. But I do think Derek Johnson is finally starting to show his age. And so the guys beside him are that much more important. Both of those guys had some good plays and run support among the few. And if the Chiefs are finally going to get out of some of those light packages and actually leave some linebackers on the field, my X-Factor is actually both of those guys. Either Ragland or KPL are going to be some of the important players in terms of keeping Marshawn Lynch contained and forcing Carr to throw at his favorite receivers, which are Marcus Peters and basically anybody else in the Chiefs secondary.
I'll throw one other name out there for you. Marshawn Lynch. I mean, Lynch is only getting like 15 carries. I don't know if they got him on a pitch count or whatnot, but I mean, he's fine. But the player that I think is a little more explosive, like, obviously, I mean, don't take this out of context. I have been drinking some 12-year scotch, but someone who's got a little more explosiveness, not on the same level as Le'Veon Bell, but someone who has at least the ability to take it to the house, is that Jalen Richard. So he's been getting about equal time as Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch, first, second down, Richard comes, been actually running Patterson out there. But if you're worried that, you know, a little quick person, you know, can get out there, he'd be the guy I'd be worried about more than Lynch. Lynch is just going to put his head down and bulldoze for 4 yards a shot. He hasn't really broken anything explosive, but he's been productive. I have no complaints with Marshawn Lynch. I know some people are getting ready to, you know, take him out to the stable, but I think he's been productive. He's everything I expected him to be. It's just everything else has kind of fallen down around him.
All right, well, it's time for a prediction and a wager on this game. As the two of us, I mean, being the nemesis that we are, we got to put some skin in this thing.
Yeah, the last 2 years, you nailed it. The Chiefs have swept my squad. I have not seen a Raider victory since Carr's rookie year. And what I would like from you, either video on the site or you can just do it live on the podcast. I mean, whatever's comfortable for you. But if you take a shot of Fireball and you drop it into a low ball of Angry Orchard, that is a shot the kids are calling Angry Balls. And I would just love to hear from your perspective how the Angry Balls taste if your team were to lose. And I'm predicting that they will. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be ugly. And I think it's going to be, you know, last possession type of game. And I'm taking 17 for the Raiders, 14 for the Chiefs, and it's going to come down to the wire.
Man, so if I lose, I got to drink my own Angry Balls. Okay.
Correct.
What I would
correct.
Like, what I want from you when the Chiefs do win this game, is that, you know, I think one of the more fun wagers, at least for me, you know, in Next Fan Up podcast history, was me forcing you to watch and review all of Catching Kelsey, the Travis Kelsey dating show. And while I'm not going to make you spend that much time, I do want you to continue to familiarize yourself with some great Chiefs artistic repertoire. And Tamba Hali, outside linebacker, still on the pup list, he released a rap album this this summer, and I want you to really get up and close and personal with one of those songs and recite in as close a fashion as Tamba Hali as possible, one verse and one chorus on the air.
Like karaoke style? Can I just can I have a couple drinks and just review how awful it is? You actually want me to try to recreate this art?
Oh, yeah. You need to recreate the art that is a linebacker rapping.
Okay.
My prediction, you said 17-14. I think it's going to be ugly. I mean, I think it could be an ugly game as these Thursday night ones generally are. But the Chiefs have plenty of game plans just sitting on the shelf that have worked well against the Raiders. I could see them pulling one of those off and just saying, oh, yeah, guys, remember all these plays? You know, they worked before. Let's just do this. And I could see the Chiefs, you know, coming out to a big lead here. I also just think that, you know, Raiders are desperate and there's enough talent there that they're going to fight back hard at home. So, you know, I think it's going to actually be a sneaky high scoring one. I'm going to say Chiefs win it 32-28.
Really love it if this was the first chance we got to watch Patrick Mahomes out there. I don't know what the heck Alex Smith has been drinking, but, you know, he could stub his toe on his way out of the shower this week and we could see some Patrick Mahomes. I think that would help my cause. Tamba Hali rap album does not sound like something anybody wants to hear.
Oh, I want to hear it.
That's true. I suppose we got one.
All right. Well, nobody else in either of our teams get injured. Have a good one. Cheers. Stay drunk.
Yep. Congrats. Congrats on your season so far.
Thanks. And congrats on yours.
Dirty. So dirty.
All right. Great job there by Monty and Nick. You know, I can't really
when we get great super fan battles, it's hard for me to come in afterwards and sort of add anything of value to what they just said, because honestly, I'm in a predicament where I did pick the Raiders to win the Super Bowl, and I did like the Chiefs as sort of boyfriends on the side last year. Now the Chiefs seem to be the team to beat in the NFL, and they got beat by a team I did not think was going to beat them last week in the exact same way they got beat during the playoffs by the Steelers. And the Raiders, well, the Raiders are in some trouble. I believe this is a must-win game for the Oakland Raiders, and unfortunately for them, I don't think they're going to do it. I think the Raiders are in some big-time trouble, and what's really disappointing about that is it's not really a lot that they can do to improve on what they've got going on. They just need to sort of get it together now. It's almost, again, I love bringing it back to the Patriots. It's almost like that Patriots game against the Chiefs a couple years ago. Brady's done. This team is done. And that was their wake-up call. Maybe this week will be similar for the Raiders. They'll drop this game to the Chiefs, and this will be their wake-up call, and they'll come roaring back. I mean, if you're a Raiders fan, that's pretty much all you can hope for. If you're a Chiefs fan, obviously you're going to be happy either way, because the Raiders will roar back and then you'll beat them in the playoffs. But in any case, I'm taking the Chiefs in this game, and I'm not all that scared about it. The short week home team, and I know this year has been a little different. The away team has won more than the home team, but I still like the Chiefs here in this particular spot. Hey, we want to hear from you. We want your we'd love for you to help us out. Leave us a review when you subscribe to the show so you don't miss any of our podcasts. You know, tomorrow we've got the previews coming up, and first thing for you every single Monday morning. It's actually late. Well, depending on where you are, it's actually real early Monday morning. The recaps are available for you on iTunes or TuneIn or AHA Radio or Stitcher. And if you leave us a review, it really helps other people find our show. Like this particular review that was left on Stitcher from Goat Herder. While the concept of the show is brilliant, highly knowledgeable and engaged representatives for each team in the NFL participating in roundtable discussions, the best part of the show is Pod Vader. Football Today died the true death the day he left it. But behold, it arose as a phoenix from its ashes as Next Fan Up. Pod's brilliance only is surpassed by his good humor, and his steely gray eyes are dreamy. First of all, I think I have blue eyes, not really gray eyes. I've got nice blue eyes. But anyway, thank you for that review, Goat Herder. I appreciate it. That was on Stitcher. And you can leave your review wherever you are subscribed to this podcast. Perhaps you're on Pocket Casts or Player.fm or any of the great places where podcasts are heard. Leave us a review. It will only help the show in the long run. And by helping the show, we're able to continue to provide you with the great content that we do three times a week. On Thursdays, the previews. Monday mornings, the recaps. And of course, today's a Wednesday. That means you're getting an interview and the Thursday night preview. So there you go. That's our show. Next Fan Up. We love you all. Here's Landry Jones. There you have it.
Next week will be next week. Today I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to go back home and hang out.